Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 318.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you all so much for being here. So I have a great episode for you today. I say that every time, and I probably say that every time. I say every time that I have a great episode for you every time. Okay. But truly, it is great. It's going to be going over practice variables for you to change up when you're practicing to help you learn concepts faster. Now, if you're listening right now, who wouldn't want to learn a concept faster, right? Do you want to learn a concept faster? What if I told you you could learn a tool, a lick, a voicing 10 times faster? Would you want that? Of course. Who wouldn't want that? A lot of times, we don't know what to do to learn things faster. We keep beating our head against the wall, right? We just keep doing the same thing, making the same mistake over and over again. So with this particular practice episode, I'm going to be going through different variables you can change to learn any jazz piano concept essentially 10 times faster. I promise you, it will work. I promise you. Okay, you're going to cut everything down drastically that you have to practice, save so much time, and you can thank me by joining my membership or live program. Just kidding. But if you do want to, you can do that as well. But no, I'm just kidding. You can thank me by writing me a note when it does work. For you, you actually have to apply the strategies, but I promise you it will work. So with that being said, we're going to get into the episode very shortly. I have one very quick announcement to make. I'm going to be doing a 30-day jazz piano challenge. Now, this is going to be a fun thing I've actually never, ever, ever done before. So what this is going to be is going to be a four-week series of live lesson workshops, free. This is all free, okay? It's going to be hosted on Zoom, and it's going to be with me, and essentially, I will be teaching on the three most coveted jazz piano goals and assigning you homework, kind of like practice assignments for what you should do to make more progress and excel at the three most coveted goals in jazz piano. Now, from easiest to hardest, these are going to be accompaniment, solo piano, and improv. Okay, from easiest to hardest, right? So improvisation is the hardest. Accompaniment is the easiest. Solo piano is right in the middle. Now, one of those, I guarantee you, is your goal. So what goal are you trying to accomplish? Is it solo piano? Is it improv? Maybe it's 2 and 3. Maybe it's 1, 2, and 3, right? I've been doing a lot of information education on these particular goals because I've seen it drastically clear out the mess and organize students' focus to make more progress, like drastically. And so it's helping tremendously. I'm really kind of vamping on this and just going with it over and over and over again because I want all students, I want all listeners to hear this. And so this is why I'm doing this 30-day challenge. Now, it's called a challenge because I challenge you to do the assignment, I should say. It's going to be very easy. I'm going to give you very attainable goals and things to work on. And I'm going to challenge you to work on these throughout the weeks that you're going to be with me in these live workshops. So the workshops will be held every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. It's going to start on October 25th, 2023, okay? So that will be in a week, essentially next week, the first one will start. You have to register for this in order to get in the live workshops, okay? So you need to go to jazzpianoschool.com/challenge, very easy. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/challenge. This will register for you to get the Zoom link you need, okay, to take part in the Jazz Piano Challenge, hop on Zoom with me, and essentially learn from me, and I'll teach you about these things. I'm going to assign small bits of homework for you to practice as your challenge, okay, over the 30 days. And again, there's going to be four of them every single week. So the 25th, November 1st, November 8th, and November 15th. And there's a very special gift. A very special gift that I'm going to give everyone when they register and go through the challenge. So when you complete the challenge, you get a reward, right? You get ice cream. So the purpose of this is to help build momentum in your playing if you've been stale, stagnant, uninspired, unmotivated to work on jazz piano. This is a great way to tackle that. If you've needed direction, you don't know what to practice, you need more organized and focused assignments, this is a great thing to do. This would be great for you as well. If you really want access to me in some capacity, right? Even if you're a member, you can sign up for this and just get more time with me on these, right? If you want to ask me questions in live time, this will be on Zoom. I will literally be interacting with you, teaching you on Zoom. You guys ask me as many questions as you want. So overall, you know, there's no risk on you. It's completely free. You don't have to pay for anything at all. You're going to get a Zoom link. You can click on the Zoom link and show up. The only thing you have to do, though, is register, because I will not be sending this out to everyone. Even if you're on my mailing list, the Jazz Piano School mailing list, you still have to register for this event to get the Zoom link. Okay, that's very important. I'm not just going to send it out to everyone, because I want a micro commitment from the people that want to sign up, right? How many times have you gotten a free t-shirt? How many times have you gotten a free t-shirt? And how many times have you worn that free t-shirt? Rarely ever, right? I have like 50 free t-shirts I've never worn. Some people love their free t-shirts. They wear them everywhere. I get that, trust me. But for the most part, when there's no commitment to something, when there's no transactional when there's no transaction happening in some way, right? Even if it's just like registering for an event, usually that person doesn't go, okay? So I'm playing to the averages now because I want to help you all. I want to help hold you accountable. That's what good leaders do. That's what good teachers do. So if you want to do this and take part in it, you just have to do one small, simple step. Go to jazzpianoschool.com/challenge. Put your email in, click on sign up for the free challenge, put your email in and register for the event, and that's all you got to do. It's that simple, and then you'll get sent the information about the challenge, the Zoom link, and it'll be fantastic. So lots of goodies coming. Black Friday's around the corner, holidays around the corner, lots of new releases are around the corner. I don't want to get into it just yet, but like community stuff, new community inside of Jazz Piano School, a lot of changes inside the membership. I don't want to call it JPS 3.0. Maybe I should. I'm thinking about it, right? But just don't tell anyone, okay? It's a secret, but it could be JPS 3.0. So anyway, with that being said, let's dive into this amazing episode. I think it's amazing. I know it's going to help you, and really hope you enjoy it. Let me know how the practicing goes too, right? Let me know how, what variables you've used, which ones you combine, all that good stuff. All right, here we go. Let's dive right in. All right, so we're going to get started here. So number one, the most probably obvious to everyone, tempo. Tempo, right? If you're working on your rootless voicings, obviously, when you first start, I always recommend using no metronome. So no tempo. Like, we just want to learn the notes. So make sure you're playing the right notes, learning them. There's no pressure. There's no time. Okay, great. I got that. Let's move to the new key. I always recommend circle of fourths because this is the way progressions move a lot of the time. 99% of the time in jazz, right, is through the circle of fourths. That's why when you're practicing using the circle of fourths, it's going to be so much more effective because you're going to see these progression cycles happen in tunes.
But obviously starting no tempo and then speeding up your tempo. One, two, three, four with a metronome. I don't have a metronome going, but you know, just imagine it going. Right? And this applies to different lines. Right? Let's say you're trying to work on some sort of bebop line or improvisation line that you want to get in your repertoire. Nice and slow. Speed it up a little bit. A little bit more. Right? And then obviously you're increasing the tempo, increasing the metronome. Okay? So that's going to be number one. Number two is going to be style. The style of tune. So jazz is a swing style most of the time, right? You can play in a bossa style, straight style, different types of meters will go along with different types of styles, 12-8 feel, 3-4 feel. Different types of styles will help you practice in different ways. So you can swing this line. Or I can play it like a straight style. Same if I'm practicing any sort of voicings. If I were to swing, let's say I was practicing a 2-5-1-6 progression with my rootless voicings, but maybe I want to practice in a bossa style. So different types of styles are going to help you practice that element, that tool that you're working on, that concept, and really help it integrate more into your body, into your hands, okay? Number three, register. This is a huge one I don't see students do a lot. I actually also don't see them practice in different styles, which is really helpful and effective. Practicing in registers will completely screw you up. I'm going to say that again. Practicing in registers, different registers, will completely screw you up. Now, you probably don't think it. But I guarantee if you practice this line and you play it up here, right? Or you play it down here, or even down here. There's so many different variables that are happening. Like your ear is not used to hearing that movement down in the low end of the piano or the high end of the piano. Your body and your motion of your hand and the way you're sitting on the piano, they're not used to practicing in those different registers either. And again, our goal for all these different environments and variables is to make ourselves as uncomfortable as possible. I'm going to say that one more time. The goal for utilizing all the variables that I'm giving you in this podcast is to make us as uncomfortable as possible. Because when we're uncomfortable, we learn the concept better and we grow and it becomes more integrated into our hands so that we can play it better. All right, does that make sense? So different registers, if I'm comping, I can comp up here. I can comp up here. Like you'd be surprised how many cool effects I play up in the upper register for different types of music. You know, just all sorts of stuff that I use the upper register for, the low end register. Oscar Peterson was always soloing down in this low end register. It sounds so great. Right, that low end is so great to work on. And again, just going to help you even more. Dynamics, right? Practicing things at a different dynamic level is going to help you gain more control over that element. So 99% of students practice at one dynamic level, just like a mezzo dynamic level, right? Try it soft. My keyboard's a little heavy. Right? Try it loud. As loud as you can. Again, try to comp softly. Right? Try and count comp loudly. I don't need to demonstrate that for you. Try to go through a different, a curvature of dynamic ranges. Like maybe start soft and grow loud. right? And just like have different movements of dynamics. Always, always great. The next one, isolated versus non-isolated, okay? So essentially you can isolate exercises in different ways. So obviously if I'm playing this line, this is just a lick. It has no context. It has no frame of reference, right? Now, this lick is over a D minor 7 going to G7, going to C major 7. I can practice the line isolated like this, kind of like out of context. That's completely fine. I could also practice it through a 2-5-1. I can also practice it in a different progression. Like maybe I practice it coming from a 4 to a 4 minor to a 3-2-2-5-1. So that's a different type of integration practice method where I might go. Right? So now it's no longer isolated. It has context. It's still not within a tune just yet. It's not within a tune just yet, but I've added more chords to the progression, right? And then finally, a fully integrated approach to this practice method would be to improvise through a tune. When you get to that spot of where you're trying to integrate that line in, then you'd pull it off, okay? Isolated versus non-isolated. The key that you're in, the key that you're in, right? If I'm comping here in the key of C, obviously you want to be able to comp in different keys, right? Different lines, things like that. So that's very common. Use changing your keys is always great. This is kind of a funny one. The time of day. If you're used to practicing at a certain time of day, switch up your practice routine, right? You never know. Like gigs happen at night, right? So if you're used to practicing in the morning, you have all this energy, but then you have a gig later at night and you're tired, you haven't eaten that much, right? Things are gonna be very different. So I'd recommend you practice around your gig time so you see how you feel, see how your energy levels are doing. You know, it might be dark, you can change the lighting in your office, right? All these things are great variables to change to really kind of test yourself and see where you're at with certain concepts. With music and without music. So clearly this is really, really funny. In Jazz Piano School, like in the membership, I have exercises for all of these, you know, tools and concepts that I teach inside of Jazz Piano Schools. And there's thousands, right? Thousands of practice exercises. Now, I'll tell you one thing. When you watch a video, tutorial video of me explaining something, whether it's a podcast or a member, right? If you don't use the sheet music to learn the concept, you're going to learn that tool much faster than if you were to use the practice exercises. I'll say that again. If you watch my video and you learn the concept just by staring at the notes on the piano and looking at your hands and understanding like where the notes are, you will learn that concept and be able to integrate it much faster than if you were to read the notes that I give you in the practice exercises and do the practice exercises based on the notation. Because when you go to play jazz, what happens? You're not reading the practice exercises. You're not reading the chords. Jazz is based off of looking at a structure, right, of chord symbols and notes and spontaneously improvising. So the more you can recreate that situation, the more you can kind of replicate that environment in your practice, the better you're going to be. And I see so many people write into me, you know, asking about the practice exercises and reading the notation, you know, and sometimes like I'll respond, hey, try it without reading it. Right? And you'd be surprised. So many people wouldn't even, you know, they could play through an exercise great, all the keys, right? Through all the keys, reading it. But then when I say, okay, let's do the exercise without the notation, deer in the headlights. Can't do it at all. And what's wrong with this? The student doesn't know the information. They know the information, can play it based on what they're reading, the notes, but they don't actually understand. They don't comprehend what is happening. And that's the most important thing that you need to know to be able to play jazz, because the comprehension is what allows the spontaneity to come through in your playing. When you understand a concept, then you can spontaneously use it however you want. If you don't understand the concept and you're relying on your music as a crutch or all the practice exercises inside a Jazz Piano School, then you haven't fully achieved freedom. You don't fully understand the concept. You can't fully use it in jazz. Okay. So definitely try to practice with and without music. I encourage you to always learn things without music as well. With a backing track or solo, right? So I could practice my improvisation in a solo piano style. Right? Or I could put a backing track on and have iRail Pro clicking away. These are two amazing different environments for comping, for improvisation. If you have a backing track or some sort of metronome, I guess a metronome is not really a backing track, but if you have iRail Pro versus just playing by yourself, two completely different environments. One hand alone versus two hands. Now, I see this so many times. If you are someone that wants to improve their improvisation, here are my three goals, most coveted goals in jazz piano. Number one, accompaniment or comping. Number two, solo piano. Number three, improvisation. This happens in every single goal that I help students with. Number one, accompaniment. If you're trying to learn how to accompany, play in a band, or accompany a soloist, a singer, you need to learn voicings. You need to learn voicings. When I teach voicings, I see so many students trying to play both two-hand voicings at the same time from the get-go. Do not do that. Do not do that. Practice what your left hand does separately. Practice what your right hand does separately. Then put them together. The brain, okay, can only learn and absorb so much information at once. And by trying to work and practice with two hands together on a new concept, it's completely short-circuiting your brain. It's completely putting it on overload, okay? And it's literally the fastest way to not learn something. Holds true, for improvisation, right? So many times, students will always practice with their left hand. Right? Now, I promise you, you don't need your left hand. Most of you, 99% of you, need to work on your right hand movements, hitting chord tones, connecting with scalar motion, learning different types of improv tools without your left hand. You need to practice without your left hand, right? And vice versa. Your left hand has to practice comping without your right hand improvising. You should be practicing your left hand comping alone. Different patterns, different rhythms, long, short, dynamics, movements, inversions, all that good stuff done left hand alone. Hands alone is so, so key. Definitely add that into your practice repertoire. Here's a great one, articulation. I was talking about this in the my mastermind program that I have, my Inner Circle Mastermind, this morning in their live class. Now, what can happen in the blues is so many students... just run up and down the blues scale, right? You're going to have much more success with the blues scale if you stick to small groupings of notes and focus on very intentional direct articulation. I want you to remember the piano is a percussive instrument. So if I go, it kind of sounds timid, not confident. If I pick one note and I play it like a drum, right? How much better did that sound? I was playing one note percussively like a drum. I added one other note in, that F. But because I was intentional, confident, I was focusing on my articulation, meaning I was focusing on playing it confidently like a drum with rhythmic component to it, right? It sounded so much better than my previous line. So work on articulation. Are you playing staccato? Oscar Peterson was a very staccato player. Other players like Bill Evans, Brad Meldo, very legato, Brad especially, spacey, airy, very soft touch, right? What's your touch like? Okay. Errol Garner, you know, check out the way people are articulating the notes that they play. A lot of times if you hear me play something, and you go to play it back, it doesn't sound as good because of the way you're playing the notes. Right? Different accents, things like that. So articulation. All right, this is a great one. Ghosting. This is the best practice tip I could probably ever give you. When there is something that you're not getting, let's say it's a voicing. Maybe it's like, let's say it's this C7 sharp 11 13 voicing, right? Let's say you want to come from this G minor 7. Don't pay attention to the chord symbol there. This is a rootless G minor 7. And you want to hit that voicing. So many students will continue to do this. Nope. For hours, days, weeks, years. And they can't understand why they're not making progress. Every time you hit a wrong note, every time you hit the wrong chord, your body is learning that. Your hands are learning that. Your brain's learning that. Your brain is learning all the time. You don't realize it, but it's always absorbing information around your environment and storing it. Okay? So what you want to do, whatever you're practicing, ghost it. Ghost it. Put your hands over the notes. Do not play the notes, though. I'll say it again. Put your hands over the notes. Do not play the notes. You want to practice the movement so that your muscle memory remembers that movement getting to a specific chord. This is the same for an improv line or anything you're doing, right? Anything you're practicing. I would do this like 20 times. This is what I do to practice classical music or very hard jazz music. And finally, when I've learned it, when I've learned the motion, my body knows the motion, I'll ghost it, play it very slowly to make sure I have the right notes. Ghost, play, speed up the time between the ghost and the play. Right? And that way, my body has learned the motion, it's learned where the notes are correctly, and it can start to play them. Okay? That's called the ghosting practice technique. Okay, I got two more for you. Tune integration or exercise based. This is kind of similar to what I was talking about, isolated and non-isolated, but it's really kind of more based on whether you have worked on a tool within a tune or you need exercise-based practice. So if you're playing through a tune, let's say Have You Met Miss Jones, let's say you just want to comp through this, right? Let's say you want to hit an altered voicing on that D7 chord, right? Now, if I've shown you this altered voicing and you're like, okay, cool, I want to play it in Have You Met Miss Jones, you might go right to the tune and be like, oh, no. No, that's not it. Right? So that's one way of practicing. That's essentially the tune integration way of practicing. It's kind of more of a traditional route. What I'd recommend to you first is to drill the altered voicing in a couple of different keys, hopefully all 12 keys, that you want to learn and utilize in all tunes. Because when you do this, if I were to drill this voicing, it now does not control me. I control it. I'll say that again. Your goal is to control the tools that you want to use in jazz piano, because otherwise they will control you, right? So if I drill the chord, I have complete control of this because I've gone through drills. I've gone through exercises. So rather than practicing in the tune, I want to practice with an exercise first, learn the chord completely. So when I go to play any tune, I can flip over to any tune. I know that voicing immediately because I've already worked on it. It's the same as a baseball player or some sort of athlete working on things outside the game. The game is not for practice, is it, people? Right? Do athletes practice in the game? No. They practice outside the game. Is a baseball pitcher going to bring a new slider to a big league game that has a lot of importance? No. They're going to work on the slider outside the game. That's the same thing in jazz. But all of us want to play tunes so badly that we go to the tune, we try to practice in the tune, and we wonder why we can't play the tune like we want to. Imagine if a baseball player were to bring out a pitch that he, you know, that he's never practiced before in a game. What would happen? He would get lots and lots and lots of home runs probably hit off of that pitch because he hasn't practiced it. Okay. The last one is going to be a combination of all of these components I've just told you. Start by picking two. So maybe you're going to say, okay, I'm going to work on different register and dynamics. So go up to the top register, play soft. Right? Then maybe pick another two and then start to pick three. Maybe you say, okay, I'm going to play a different style. I'm going to, let's pick another one. I'm going to do one hand alone and I'm going to, I'm not going to use music, right? So I'm going to do one hand alone. I'm going to do a different style, and I'm not going to use music, right? So maybe I'll do my right hand alone. I'm not using music, and I'm going to do 12-8 feel. So like maybe put a 12-8 feel. Ta 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 ta. Right. Obviously, you'd have a metronome going to keep the style going or whatever. So you can pick as many as these as you want. I probably wouldn't go with more than like four or five, honestly, because then it can get really confusing. You get lost in how many things you're practicing at once. But I promise you, when you start to really focus in on the variables, like working on these different variables, on the concepts and tools that you want to integrate better into your performance, right? Before you get to the tune, I promise you, you will learn these things. All the tools you're trying to learn, whether it's an improv line, an improv concept, a comping concept, a solo piano tool or a solo piano concept, any of the ones that I teach, when you utilize these variables, you will learn that tool so much faster, 10 times faster, and be able to integrate it into tunes 10 times faster than you ever have before. I promise you. Okay? All right. Don't forget to sign up for my free 30-day jazz piano workshop. Hope to see you there. And that's it. Hope you enjoy.